You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Sooner fans, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm your host, David Walker. I'm a former Sooners offensive lineman, a former college basketball coach, and also the co-host of the Iron Horse podcast with Brandon Carr, NFL cornerback, formerly of the Chiefs, Cowboys, and Ravens. Today is part two of our most recent episode of the Players Lounge. What is the Players Lounge? Well, a few weeks back, we got a group of former offensive linemen together and hung out for hour and a half, 2 hours, talking about Sooner football, talking old memories, talking stories about working out under Jerry Schmidt, a segment we call Tales from the Schmidt. And we introduced that segment as something fun to change up some content, and you seemed to like it, so we brought a new cast of characters back for a second edition of the Locked On Sooners Players Lounge. And today is part two of that conversation. Part one was yesterday. If you missed it, go back and check it out. And we're going to pick up where we left off. And this conversation features some true Sooner legends in Teddy Lehman, Buckus Award winner, Consensus All-American, Chuck Bednarik Award winner, Rufus Alexander, Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12, Mark Clayton, Biletnikoff finalist, two-time All-American, first-round draft pick. Also brought Wes Sims back. He was on the first episode of the Players Lounge. He's back again with me. Former offensive lineman, drafted by the San Diego Chargers. And we're going to get right back into that conversation here in just a moment. But we're going to bring you more of these throughout the spring. So if there's guys you want to hear from, hit us up with a DM. We'll try our best to get those guys on. And what you're going to hear today is just more of the same. We're going to be sharing old stories, talking about some memories, favorite Sooner memories, and it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. So buckle up and join us for another conversation here on the Players Lounge. We're going to get right back into it with Teddy Lehman right now.
I had one more thing I wanted to ask you guys about and see if you guys remembered this. So whenever we came in as freshmen, MC, Wes, and I, you know, the summer before was like Hell Week or whatever you want to call it. That's where they eliminated half of the football team.
Yeah,
right.
So, hey, for your in that regard, so there was two guys from my high school that was in that class, and they were back at my high school the very next year.
Oh, wow.
Hanging out around football, they were done. They couldn't do it. They couldn't take it. A receiver and a DN couldn't take it.
That's
done.
Crazy. So, damn. But, like, yeah, the last day of summer, is like summer of '99. I think they were at the duck pond. They showed up at the duck pond at like 6 a.m. And Smitty brought a bunch of McDonald's, and they had a McDonald's breakfast. They didn't run. And it was like, hey, hell of a summer. Congrats, guys. You know, great job. So naturally the next year on the last day of the summer, it's like, okay, guys, it's a team run at 6, we're going to finish the day up. It's a team run, and then we're out. So everyone's like, it's McDonald's, baby. It's McDonald's. So everyone goes out the night before, and it's like, it's dude, don't worry about it. All we're doing, he's just going to have McDonald's for us the next morning. That was wrong, okay? It was wrong, and I'll never forgive those guys for telling me the story about what happened the year before, because that day was hell. I think it was ramps. I think we ran ramps that day. But naturally, every year after that, on the last day of summer, even though the year before he didn't bring McDonald's, it was like, I wonder if this year is going to be the year on the last run that he's going to be waiting there with popsicles or, you know, Big Macs or something. The whole team's like sitting there like, what do you guys think it is? What do you think we're doing? And then here comes Smitty, like, bouncing around the corner with that whistle dangling everywhere. And it's just – it's you run. It's all you do is run. He did that on purpose. He put that in their head on purpose to where everyone would always talk about that. And it was just mental warfare is what it is.
Always.
Talk about it every year.
Shit. Yeah. To go from expecting McDonald's to fucking Hills or Gather, yeah. Whatever.
So this is a.
I remember that one time they brought like ice cream, like the ice cream truck came out on the practice field.
That was beautiful.
One fucking time.
I remember that.
It was like, it was our freshman year, I think. Every year we were like, man, we're gonna have ice cream or something. It's like, hell no. Or they might have done it like, it, I don't remember what year it was, but they did that shit one time. And we thought it was going to happen a lot more times.
They did the watermelons too with, who was it? It was Tony's. What's his name? Chris Tony's parent, whoever it was. Chris Tony would get them all brought to the field.
And it was the watermelons. Was the official.
Yeah.
The ice cream was official. Yeah, that was official.
That was legit.
Chris Tony. If you had Chris Tony on your Players Lounge bingo card, you just park that square right there. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So this is not a summer workout story, but it does also speak to just like the regiment of those guys and that strength and conditioning staff. Do you guys remember arriving to the Superdome for the National Championship Week and we got off the plane and went straight to the dome and just like didn't even go to the hotel but went and ran? Like, I don't remember how many hundreds or whatever we did there. Was that every bowl game experience for you older guys? That was that.
Yeah, and I'll just tell you right now, it wasn't anything close to the Orange Bowl, buddy.
Yeah, the Orange Bowl was the worst. Oh.
That was bad.
Because I remember every bowl game after that, somebody would come in and be like, "Dude, that was horrible," and I was like, "Nah, it wasn't the Orange Bowl, man."
I think we all thought we were going to Miami. Had no clue what was going to happen. It's like, yeah, we're in Miami. Let's go. What are we doing tonight? And then, you know, like when you go on a bowl game, there's like 8 buses. Everyone's family's there.
Yep.
And we're on the buses. And like these buses go this way.
Yep.
And we keep going. It's like, well, hey, what are they doing?
That's insane.
Yeah, we thought we were going to go to the hotel, check in, see what was going on, maybe – watch some film that night. No, everybody went to the hotel. They were like, you can get your shit later.
USC.
They were like, we're going over here.
USC.
Your little yellow net bag waiting on you.
We played in the Orange Bowl against USC, and I think we practiced. The practice was so hard, and we were so tired. I mean, people were at the point where, man, F that game. Like, people were like, that's how hard practices were. USC came in, I think, 3 or 4 days before and stayed 2 days after. We were there for like 2 weeks. I mean, it was banging heads in practice, full out running. Like you said, that bus go to the hotel and that other bus veer off and you go to the thing, straight get that run in, get your legs back under you, or whatever shit that they say to get you back in the game shape.
I remember, the event when you go with both of the teams do the dinner.
Yeah.
All I remember is asking like, "Red, like, man, what y'all practice is like?" It's like, "Oh, bro, we've been in shells the whole time."
What?
Like shells? What is shells?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What?
We didn't learn what
shells
were until we left.
Like, basically, just the little light pad up under your shoulder pads. I was like,
and we've been out there.
Cause you know, he was an NFL guy, so they do shells, and if you know, you do shells.
Yeah.
What Bob called shells was helmet, shoulder pads, shorts, but you had to have your thigh pads in your girdle
and your knee braces. Well,
our shells were no knee pads. Like that was the difference between our shells and our full pads, because. Yeah. I mean, you guys know this. It's not like it was any slower or, you know, I mean, it's not like the tempo changed at all.
Man, it depends. Hey, I'm just in the league with Billy and Hart, like shell meant shells. You're running, but you're wearing those little thin ass pads. Yep. They're not shoulder pads. They're
Velcro pads.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
Your OCS pads.
That's what I was saying. Like in our bowl games, you had like we were so beat up.
We played against
LSU. It was raining and hot one day and humid as shit. Then we got out there and we full on scrimmage one day. I'm sitting there like, damn, we out here banging. And I mean Teddy them out there just thudding up. I'm like, we ain't gonna make it to the game. Like, what the hell? beating each other up. Like,
the 2000 years what started it though, because like we went down to the Oracle and we were down there.
It was because they won.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like training camp all over again, man.
Yeah.
It was like full on, full pads, full tackle to the ground scrimmages, moving the ball periods, but tackling to the ground.
Yeah.
It was good brutal. On good when we got there, man. It was
Dante Hickson so damn hard one time. I'm like, dog, we in practice at a bowl game. And I'm
like, holy shit.
I'm like,
the hardest hit of the year.
I see Teddy and them. They over there killing poor Kiwan. Kiwan coming through the hole like 200 pounds, and they out there slapping the hell out of Kiwan. Him and Gayron. I'm like, oh shit.
God,
damn. I'm like, damn. Kiwan ain't gonna make it to the game.
Kiwan. And we'll be right back with more here on the Players Lounge of the Locked On Sooners podcast. But first, I want to tell you about BetOnline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I know football's over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and Major League Baseball is right around the corner. Look, BetOnline, they even cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They provide real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. And we have a promo code for you, and that promo code is LOCKEDON. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. You can get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today, wherever you get your podcasts. So let me ask you this. So all you guys play for different position coaches. Obviously, Rufus, you and Teddy were both with BV the whole time. Wes, you play for Mangino and Coach Wilson. MC, who you got several wide receiver coaches.
Yeah, I had Spurrier Jr. Yep. It's awesome. Then Daryl Wyatt.
Yep.
He was dope. But Spurrier Jr. was he was by far the funnest coach I've ever played under, by far.
You got a story?
I was shocked that he turned into something bigger. I mean, he's just kind of bounced around all over the place. I thought he was going to climb the ladder pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I feel like the fun and of the game, just being around it and loving it and doing that, like. It's harder to do that as like a head or an OC.
That's true.
Yeah. Tough because, you know, it's just different. But where he is, like, he gets to be himself. And it was cool. Like, it was a lasting impression on me. But, yeah, very dream.
All right, so Teddy and Rufus, I had my BV and Mike Stoops experiences were on the other side of the coin. On the scout team side coming in, and usually what our only time we got to hear from those guys was if we screwed up or if we happened to do something good, we got to run it again and pay the price. Yeah. Pay the price for the good rep, you know? And so what I would start doing and, you know, eventually Dusty and I developed this relationship to where, you know, late in practice, he's like, you know, hey, D-Walk, is it a pass? I'm like, yes, it is, man. It's a pass. Take your two hard steps and get out. Go get out. Do whatever you need to do. Let's just do this thing. You know, you don't want to brother-in-law each other, but essentially you start to realize the law of diminishing returns here. Like if I succeed, we're going to reload and run it again. The defense is going to get cussed out. We are going to get looked at by the defensive front. Like, okay, now we're going to do this again. Okay. All right. And so that was our experiences with Mike and BV, but for you guys, with BV specifically, Mike, what was your any crazy takeaways from those guys, or which one would you like to share? I should probably say
Teddy can go second because Teddy had more of Mike and BV. I had more because Mike left. I mean, right after the LSU game, that's my first year. So BV was just, I mean, he was always wired up, and I will never forget what he told me whenever he recruited me. Like he came out and he was an honest coach to me. I don't know what he tell other guys or whatever, but he's like, you know, every year I'm going to recruit to replace you. He said, if you want to come here and play at the University of Oklahoma and you want to you know, compete at the highest level. He said we had the Buckus Award winner. We have a back-to-back Buckus Award winner because Teddy had just won it, I believe. And he said, if you want to win the Buckus, come here and all that stuff. And I mean, and I was like fired up because I'm a competitive person. I'm like, hell yeah. And so I remember every person that Coach Venables had recruited to replace me. Because the man, he came and he told me, got this guy coming out of Las Vegas. He's going to replace your ass. It was Ryan Reynolds. He said, shit, I got this guy coming out of Chicago. It was Chris Patterson. Got this kid coming out of Texas. It was Lewis Baker. I remember those guys that were coming in after me to kind of like, you know, for me as a young guy, it's like, well, shit, I got to keep on working because Lewis, whenever you look at Lewis highlight tape, I mean, shit, he was firing off on people left and right. The Patterson kid, I think Chicago was super good. I think that guy smoked, huh?
Who?
What's his name? I think it's Chris Patterson. He didn't end up signing with OU. That's what I'm saying. He didn't end up signing with OU, but he was a five-star kid that was everybody was talking about. And I mean, Ryan Reynolds was I think four or five-star kid everybody was talking about coming in. So those were the things that Coach Venables would tell you to kind of pretty much light a fire under your ass and keep you going. We would get in practice, man, and I remember this man throwing this little Nerf ball that the scout team would have. I don't know who he threw it at. He threw it at one of the offensive line. He threw it at Cordero Moore one day at practice because we didn't have any offensive linemen because all of them had quit. That was the year that Steve Coleman had quit. Kim Millington quit.
Steve.
So they took Cordero Moore and put him from D-line to offensive line, and he messed up a blocking scheme. So Richard picked up this Nerf ball and threw it at him. It's freaking right! Boom! Hit this man with this Nerf ball. And like, bro, I'm like, what in the hell is going on in practice? And we were just – he was wanted to be so perfect every time. I still tell myself, all right, if I'm lining up, all right, I got to be one more inch to the left, one more inch to the right. All right, that's good right here. And you just never know if – was that a determining factor on how I made the play? Or maybe we would have gotten cut off or something like that. And he would always go like he was so particular on where he wanted your ass on the field. And he would literally go off. And I remember the time whenever he got – I was upset. He was upset. And Lewis Baker was my backup. And I said, all right, well, shit, forget that. I'm sitting my ass down. I took a knee. Lewis Baker busted four plays in a row. He said – he looked at him with that mean ass look. He'd rock back and forth. Get your ass back in there. Sat Lewis Baker back down. He didn't make one check right. I was like, well, shit, we're going to see. All right, he can make all these checks. All right, let's find out. I want to take my ass a knee. Like, he was mad at me. All right, that's it. Lewis, get in there.
Anyone can do it on the chalkboard.
Huh?
I said, anyone can make all the checks on the chalkboard. It's different. Live bullets.
Live bullets. Yeah. If I can't make these checks and all these live bullets started happening to me and a pirate come quick, that guy motion across, and you don't say pirate right when that guy moved, right, and he goes ballistic, shit, after that, is how you going to make another check? Because now you second guessing, like, am I going to make this check? Am I making it right? That's not a pirate. Going off, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take a knee on this one. And Lewis Baker busted four times, and that was it. Get your ass back in there. Sometimes you got to go ahead and battle at DV a little bit because he'll test your manhood and challenge you mentally, though, to make sure you know what the hell you're talking about and you're confident in what you're doing, that you can kind of battle back with him intellectually on a football level. And the craziest thing, when I became a senior, I understood that he loved that you want to know the defense well enough to where you almost try to feel like you know it better than him.
Right.
Well, coach, well, why we ain't checking blah, 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 blah. And then his mind will go from here to over there. And when I was a freshman, I watched Teddy and him talk about stuff on so many different levels that was way ahead of what I could even think about. And Gayron Allen, I remember Gayron Allen said, oh, shit, don't worry about that, man. Teddy's all the way on another level, man. Don't worry about that. If you do this, then that'll take care of that. But they talking about something way, way above your head, man. And Gayron was like the common factor in everything when I was young. And then when I was older, I could talk it like Teddy and BV could have conversations about it. And it was cool to watch them do it and being able to do it as a senior. So BV was awesome, man. Awesome teacher. Awesome person as a man. Whoever he coached. And most people that has been behind him, they'll tell you he's as honest as they come.
He's got a method. That's for sure. You know, whenever I was getting recruited by him, I was like, God, man, I love this guy. He always, all he wants to do is talk about football. And this is what you're going to do. And this is where we're going to play you. And this is what I expect. And this is what I want. And then I showed up and I was like, what happened to the guy that recruited me? Because I'm telling you, man, it was every coach has the guy that they pick on, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's the guy that they hammer on. And I was BV's guy for 2 years. Like, whenever I got there, it's like, you know, you look stupid whenever you stand there, the way you stand there. It's like, why do you sit in your chair like that? Well, you know, what's all this stuff in your locker? Yeah. You know, why are you the last one to walk in the door? Like, and it was everything that I did. It's like the way I stretch and the way it didn't matter what it was. It was just everything was wrong. And, you know, there's a definitive moment for me whenever I went from just trying to make it through each day to actually like learning it and wanting to be better. Like in the very beginning, it was just like, what can I do to not get screamed at constantly? You know, and it was tough love. But by the end of it, you know, I was, you know, we were speaking the same exact language on everything, you know, and it was just, I at first started to do it just to stop getting yelled at. But by the end of it, I saw the method and the madness, you know. But, you know, we had our dust ups, you know, he was incredibly hard on a lot of different guys, but whenever I was a sophomore, it was my first year starting at Mike, and he and I can't remember who we were playing, maybe Texas A&M. It was a horrible week of practice. I mean, it was one of those games where you thought we were going to get killed just because nothing went right, but we ended up winning the game and played well. But I think like I took on a lead or something, and like I had my feet crossed up and I just didn't do it like right. And he's like, I hope you get paralyzed and can't walk for the rest of your life. And of course, there's about 10 F-bombs. And I'm like,
damn.
I know you don't mean that. You know, I was just like, but at the time I was like, screw you, dude. Screw this. Like, but slowly came around. It took a long time, but I slowly came around and I saw the method to the madness, you know, probably by my junior year is whenever it finally started to ease down a little bit.
Man, I still think you're lucky. Mangino came out there to Weatherford and brought me in. And I was like, oh, Mom, I love this dude. He's like a little fat chef guy. He's cool. And I was like, he'll probably teach me how to make pasta or something. And I get up there, and I've never hated anybody in my life until I met that man. And I was like, oh, my God. And then the next year, I remember the day I had, I think it was Jeff Lebby on his recruiting visit. And Cale Gundy comes up to me and says, hey, you're going to be the happiest man on campus. And I was like, what just happened? And he was like, man, Gino's going to Kansas tomorrow. And I was like, oh, my God. And I called Frank Romero immediately. I was like, we are going to have the biggest party this town has ever seen.
Well, I mean, here's the real truth about that is, like, we're on here talking about how hard it was and how brutal it was. I mean, every single coach on that staff pretty much has been either fired or reprimanded or something for player treatment. Mangino, Ship, Coach Wilson, Mike Stoops.
Mike Leach all the way back to the beginning in year one of Bob. Mike Leach at Texas Tech even had issues, and he's unassuming.
I'm telling you, dude, it was brutal around that place.
So you mentioned Wilson. So Kevin Wilson, I got there right after Mangino left. So that spring, Coach Wilson had just got the job. And so that was like my only experience. I didn't have Mangino except for camp. And I could see at camp he was something else. But Coach Wilson, one time, Teddy, you can appreciate this. I've never even told you this story. But we were watching film one day. And this is my second year. So I'm on the 2-deep. I'm on the travel squad, whatever. And yet we were going good on good. And I was trying to reach you on some play. And apparently I did a crappy job. It was just like, apparently I blew the play. And he's over there. And, you know, when you watch film as offensive line, Wes can appreciate this. There's five of us, right? So he goes left to right. Like, he's going to watch. We're going to run it back, run it back, run it back. So he's going to talk to all five guys in the same place. So when you have a bad rep, it's just like, it's just on a loop, you know, and you're waiting. And I think I was a right guard. So we're going left to right. So I'm the fourth person that's going to get addressed on this play. And I'm just waiting for it. I'm anticipating what he's going to say, you know. And he finally gets to me and he kind of looks to the side, runs it back, doesn't say anything, just watches me watch the play a couple times. And he goes, hey, he goes, you scared of that guy? You know that guy? He goes, I said, I know that guy. I'm like, yes, coach, I know that guy. He goes, I mean, I know you went to the same high school, but you can block that guy, right? It's okay to go block him, right? And I was like, yes, coach, I can block him. He goes, I mean, I know they built a statue of him in your hometown, but you can still go block him, right? And I said, yes, coach, I can go block him. He goes, I mean, just because half the town, he goes, and then this is the kicker, Teddy. And this is, you're going to be offended, I'm offended. He says, that the third time he says, and just because half your town has no teeth and the other half are related, you can still go block him, right? And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything, man? You ain't even been to my hometown now. What does that have to do with it? Now we're just getting personal.
Where do you come up with this shit? But
the fact is, the majority of the stuff Wilson said, we couldn't really repeat on here.
We could,
man.
Not. No.
I mean,
Wilson.
Or where people are in general.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I wish Willie P could make it.
And we'll be right back with more here on the Locked On Sooners Players Lounge. But first, I got to tell you about Built Bar. You know I love it. If you listen to the show, you know I don't just talk about Built Bar, but I am ordering the product. I eat it on the daily. And they've got a flash sale going today. And you know I've already taken part, but I'm going to tell you about it as well. They've got a coconut puff bar. Look, coconut's one of my favorite flavors of their regular Built Bar. Now they got this coconut puff bar. It's luscious chocolate with a soft marshmallow inside. It's made with premium collagen protein blend, which is, the breakdown goes like this. 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 6 grams of sugar. It's gluten-free, preservative-free, and it's only available for a limited time. There's a one-day sale going on right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. They'll know we sent you. Get your discount code ready. But go take advantage of this flash sale over at BuiltBar.com. Betting on your favorite team doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. So subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. And you can get that wherever you get podcasts. But for now, let's jump right back in to one more segment of the Players Lounge with Teddy Lehman, Mark Clayton, Wes Sims, and Rufus Alexander.
Coach Wilson he ridiculed and said so many things to Kim Millington. That man quit. He quit the week of TCU, like the game week. He's made it through the summer, made it through the training and all that stuff, and this man had a breakdown the week of the game. They had to move Davin Joseph to tackle to support, and we used Chris Mesner, who was what? 259, 270 something.
Right.
Couldn't get 300. And he was one of the smallest tackles. I think he was the smallest right tackle in the league.
My God.
He was left tackle, and Davin had to move to right tackle, bro. Man quit game week.
Cheating, bro.
He quit game week.
He didn't even get Mangino.
Mangino made
a bunch of dudes quit.
He came in, could barely bench the bar. Like, can barely bench a 45 as a 300-pound man.
He was softy.
Yeah, he came in after that. He was pressing, doing all that stuff, working with Jamal Brown, and that man Kevin Wilson made that man quit game week. Done. He said, "I'm done. I can't take this man no more." I said, "Come on, Kim. Nah, I'm done. I can't take it no more." Like, they had a mental breakdown on the field, into the locker room, had a mental breakdown, didn't show up the rest of the week. Done.
Wilson and BV both had that like perpetual rasp to their voice as well too. It's like, They never woke up a day in their life as an adult without a rasp in their throat because of whatever.
Somebody had always just got their ass chewed on by one of those two.
Always. Always.
But people, I don't think fans realize the constant pressure that's on somebody constantly, especially if you have a hard coach. Like, how hard it is to kind of keep that along with school and keep that mental drive and all that stuff. And then you have a coach that's tough and that's hard and he wants perfection and all that stuff. Some guys don't, man, so many guys that I've seen just kind of fell under the pressure because they just couldn't take it.
Good player. And,
everybody can't take that shit.
Man, you can't take that shit. And a lot of guys folded under it. There's a lot of people that don't make it just because they couldn't handle the pressure of being there in college.
So
there's a lot of great football players out there that never made it. And I mean, just at OU, there was great players that never got to play, and it might have been Schmitty or whoever the show coach was or whatever. They couldn't handle it.
No. Not to be like a psychologist or something, but there's some kid like nowadays, because I help a volunteer or whatever, but it's like the emotional capacity. They couldn't go and listen. They couldn't, there's no way in the world they would be able to sit under that staff and do anything productive today. Cause like
my 4-year old, 7-year old could take more than most high schoolers could.
Yeah.
And they've just caught it on accident around the house. And not just for me.
Right. Mama put it down.
Yeah, mama will put it down.
That's right.
Will lay it down.
So, that's right. So let me ask you.
Upside their head.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then. So flip to like 2020 then, right now. Right. We're talking about how things were under Bob, under Schmitty. Yeah. And obviously there was a flip, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now. Schmitty was still around for Lincoln's first year. And now he's got, you know, his own staff. He's got his own guys. So as you guys sit here and watch the program, because you're all tuned in, you're all, you know, kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of what's going on. Teddy, obviously you cover them, you know, for a living. But what do you see right now in the program? I mean, obviously athletes are under different kind of pressure. So they're, you know, when we were playing, there was like this pressure from the staff and the mental warfare that we talk about going through. Now there's social media involved and there's Twitter trolls and all the different things that go into that. So when you kind of look at the state of the program now, you know, where they are, the kind of players they're getting, the mentality, what are the things, you know, some things you like, some things you maybe you don't like so much? Like, what are your takeaways from kind of where things are now as far as the transition goes?
As far as like comparing today's players to, you know, the time and the era whenever we were there, you know, it's so different because, number one, I'll say this, the level of player coming in, you know, just forget the level of recruit, but the level of player coming in is way more polished than we were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like Mark's the best receiver I've ever seen, like as far as releases and shiftiness and route running and separation and all that stuff. But Mark had to learn like almost all of that whenever you got there, right? I mean, it's like a crash course, but there's kids coming in that have been taught so well. There's so much good information out there that they're already a level up. So, you know, whether it's offensive line or defensively, even strength and conditioning wise, I think the level of player that's showing up on campus is quite a bit better. So I don't know that there's like the necessity of like the true strip everything back boot camp type of mentality that we had to go through. But I think you're dealing with a much more refined player by the time they get there. And as far as mindset, you know, I think those kids could do the stuff that we did if they had to, but they don't have to. Mm-hmm. They've got a million ways out and they know it. They've got the compliance department as far as whether they can be punished for not making a workout or you can't run sprints as punishment. And the workouts have to be this long. And if they go any time over, we're out of here. We can walk. You know, they've got that. They've got, you know, transfer portal and stuff that, you know,
it's we like didn't have.
Talking about guys, they didn't transfer. They just quit. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're done. They quit. Like now they just transfer somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's like it's over.
Yeah.
So they don't have to go through or do what we did. But if they had to, I think they probably could. It would be just as hard on them as it was us. And, you know, we all went through those moments where we couldn't make it. So, I mean, it just kind of has to be a little bit different. But I really like I mean, here's the thing. This is what's crazy. And aside from maybe Rufus, were you a 4-star or 5? Were you 4-star?
I think I was 4. Yeah.
So
by the end of it, yeah.
Well, okay. Like this group that's here today, none of us would have gone to Oklahoma probably, except for maybe Wes. Wes was a 5-star. I was like a 2-star. Mark was a
no-star. No, it was low star. Rufus,
they may, no you way. May have been no recruited as a 4-star, but like, the level of player, and I'm not saying for better or worse, it's just it's way different. Like you go back and look at some of those teams, and a lot of the players that ended up being like great players would never have even been thought given a second look by them now. And that's not to say anything negative to them. They could just recruit a much higher level player. So start to get in on those guys defensively, which I think is good.
Well, I'm texting Wes last night. I'm like, man, look at these guys are getting these photo shoots when they come in, right? These guys are getting their photo shoot when they're freshmen. They got all the gear. They got the uniform. They got all the Jumpman stuff. But also, so there's that. They're like, they're getting coming in. They got this like platform right off the bat. They got a brand. They got a photo shoot. But also in that photo shoot, to your point, Teddy, these guys look the part. Like these are more polished products. These guys are arriving as like physical specimens because they're trained different. They're coach different. They're coach smarter.
Highly specialized.
Yeah, more highly specialized. So, yeah, to your point, it is a different style that's necessary. I mean, they don't have to break people, particularly maybe the way they had to break guys, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But, Rufus, what's your take on it?
But I also think, you know, if you look at it, so it's something about getting a player that's already stripped down. Like, whenever I got there, I never played linebacker. So I had this ability to do a lot of things. I had this raw talent as far as speed, agility, and all that stuff. And I was just molded into playing linebacker. I always played with good pad leverage, always did all these things that I already naturally had. And I just got bigger, faster, stronger, and I had natural ability that Coach Venables kind of molded into what he wanted. I think now you got players that come in and they think they are at this level, and some of them need to be stripped down and humbled all the way back to a certain level as well, because of if a high school coach has coached this kid to this level, or he's gone see this personal trainer and have him to this level, and he comes into college and wants to take no direction a lot of times and feel he knows more than what he think he does, or don't want to fall in line as far as what the scheme is or something like that. Cause that's what you have a lot of times. Guys kind of go out there. I think sometimes a lot of times the talent on the field is there, but so many guys play for themselves and what they do. I mean, as far as taking shortcuts, not getting in the gap, not coming cross face, thinking I can go backside and still make this play and dive and dip under stuff. Those are things that we never did because we knew if we came back to the sideline, it was an ass chewing coming because the way the defense was designed, they knew who was supposed to be where and what gap it went through. And depending on what gap it went through, they knew who did it and who was wrong. And everything that happens. And I think the game has advanced a lot on offense. They allow offense to do a lot of things. But defensively, the guys they have there right now, I think they have a lot of talent. I think sometimes some guys just do stuff for self because they've been trained by this person and they've been told they can do all these things. Mm-hmm. And for guys like Mark Clayton, Wes, me, Teddy, there was somebody great in front of us. And so you see, like, a lot of times right now, this is kind of a rebuilding, revamping type thing. And I came in a part of it where Teddy and all those guys were already in place, and I had to wait my turn and learn from those guys. And now as the group gets better, there's going to be guys that's behind that they have to wait their turn, and they can be guys that's molded into something different. And they're not throwing into the fire very early. That's what the Alabamas have and the Clemsons have. They have time on their side, and if a guy decides to leave in the portal, it doesn't matter because they recruit another guy that's just as good or better. So they have time on their side, and what Oklahoma hadn't had defensively is time on their side. Offensively, they have it. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they haven't had it. Strength and conditioning-wise, I just – like Teddy said, I mean, it's a different way of training kids because of all that they have in front of them. You can't do it the same way.
I think there's a lot to be said. Like your point about, you know, just the details. I mean, But part of it is like there's, I think we can all agree, there's better ways to get bigger, faster, stronger than running guys up stadium ramps.
Heck yeah.
Right?
1,000%.
But part of that isn't necessarily about getting bigger, faster, stronger. It's about stripping everyone back, making everyone have to go through something that they didn't think they could.
Yeah.
And not because, yes, you don't want to make it or you don't want to miss your time and have to come back, but you don't want the whole group to have to come back. Mm-hmm. So put yourself through something for the entire unit. I mean, I remember, I think it was Rufus, you may have been there. Were you there in the old indoor ever?
Yeah. I went in the old indoor, yeah.
Do you remember when BV made us run, I don't know, we probably ran 2200s after a coach's workout, why Jimmy Wilkerson laid in the middle of the of the field because his back was hurt?
Yeah.
And like, I'm telling you, like, BV would be thrown in prison today for what he did to us that day. Like, we ran probably 2200s around the track deal, Jimmy still wouldn't get up, so we had to go over there, and we all kind of crowded around him and did up-downs for, like, 20 minutes. I mean, it was insane, but it's like, it's to get you to do something for the group, not for yourself. And I think there's a lot of truth to what you said, Rufus. I agree with that.
And we're going to leave it right here for today's episode of the Players Lounge here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. There's more to this conversation. We're going to bring it to you next week. But go subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating. Write us a review. You can find us on radio.com now. We're just recently on radio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Join our Facebook page by searching Locked On Sooners. And for our cast today, Rufus Alexander, Teddy Lehman, Mark Clayton, Wes Sims, I'm David Walker. We'll see you next week. Take care and stay safe and stay warm, Oklahoma. We'll see you on Monday. Boomer Sooner.